are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
Triple.
It's on you, Ray. Saying triple.
All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene, Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. I am distracted by baseball right now, but this is All Skins Everything.
Even
though my man Will text me, he not on the show tonight. He said All Nats Everything.
Yeah, All Nats Everything.
Right now, because we need to be focused on baseball. It's a big,
it's big in the DMV, man.
It is huge in the DMV right now.
It's huge, man.
And it's unfortunate that these poor skins are the only team that's not really seeming to just get that
get a buck, man. They ain't holding their weight, man. They're not holding their weight.
That aura that the other franchises currently have. Let's see if our NBA team has as well. But you know what? Again, it's a skin. They played a good game on Sunday in just amazing weather conditions. Because you know football, you love to play in those type of games.
Do.
Where you get to slide.
Yeah,
it's just fun football. But
the
at the same time,
very disrespectful though. The Niners were very disrespectful with that slide at the end of the game. That's a whole different discussion, man.
Hey, listen, we have a nice show tonight. Former Washington Redskins. What was he, a linebacker?
Yeah, linebacker.
Linebacker, because you called him a special teams player earlier.
He was, though. He played special teams and linebacker.
Oh, no. I know he did. I'm just saying. But he was linebacker.
For real. Like
Robert Henson. I remember Robert Henson made a comment about, you know, the fans working McDonald's. Remember he said that?
Yeah, I remember.
Now, I thought about that earlier when he agreed to come on the show. And I said, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We need some fans in the stands right now. Right now, we need somebody. Go to Sonic and get them. Don't matter where they work, Robert. We need them back. Because I know it was bad weather, but I'm like, dang, nobody's there.
Yeah, nobody.
Now, I did see San Fran jerseys around town. I'm out at Wegmans.
They were everywhere.
I was in a grocery store leading up to the game, and I couldn't go to the Wegmans near the stadium. So I'm like, let me go out across it. And it was all Niners jerseys. I'm like, wow.
You know, that's how Niners fans are, though. They used to mob this place when we were, like, younger.
But it was no Garoppolo jerseys.
Nah,
it was no current players. It was Montana Rice jerseys.
You said that last week. That's all. You know, they come back when they did the same thing when Harbaugh was around, bro. They did the same. They a whole different type of fan base. All right. excuse me. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this, but he's not in the building. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. I always do it for my man Ray, man. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins taking on Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings Thursday night. Finally, we'll have, like Ray mentioned, former Redskins inside linebacker Robert Henson on the show to talk about whether it's time for rookie quarterback Dwayne Haskins to start. But first, Thursday night, the Redskins will be taking on Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. Is this game the Skins Super Bowl?
Hell no. it is significant because obviously it's Kirk Cousins, but also you got Adrian Peterson returning to Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
Case Keenum.
He's questionable though. I wonder if he's going
to
play.
Case Keenum going back to Minnesota.
Case Keenum
had one of his best seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2-3 years ago?
Two years ago, they beat
New Orleans on that miraculous play. So it's not just about Kirk Cousins. However, blame it on Zach Brown to light a fire under this dude that I didn't think could be freaking lit. I'm serious. I didn't think it could happen. And now this dude is playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
And it's because of a former freaking Redskin. So there's added motivation. Thank goodness Jay is now on the sideline. Maybe he won't be as upset.
Yeah,
but when he sees that burgundy and gold, I believe he's going to have a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And if you can't run the football, it's gonna be a long day in that dome, bro. I already picked the Vikings. I'm telling you ahead of time.
We all picked the Vikings.
But here's what I will say, and I mentioned this to you off the air. I do like what Washington is doing currently under the new interim coach.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I was gonna say under the new coach, but interim coach. They're running the ball much more. I felt as though they had a chance on Sunday. If Adrian Peterson doesn't fumble, we might be having a different discussion.
Yeah, agreed.
Because they were in the game. It was a nasty game, and as I talked about last week, this division still is winnable. I know Dallas, they beat the brakes off Philly, but we know Philly has their issues.
Yeah, the secondary sucks.
If you can somehow steal a victory, not this week, after this week, if you can steal a few victories, you can gain some more confidence. You can continue to build on the momentum. I think you're having a running game on defense.
You would have to be on a vicious streak to even think about the East.
Nah, come on, man. 1-6, bruh. Yeah, but the Cowboys are 4-3.
Yeah, but still, they're playing against the teams like the Skins and the Giants. They'll win a few more games.
Yeah, I know you're a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm just saying, you have to try. You have to try to look at bright spots in what is becoming such a horrible season after you had so much hope.
Yeah.
For the defense and for your running game coming in, you had Geist returning, and you also added so many new pieces on defense, and it just felt like this is not what was supposed to take place. And you know, blame it on the coaches, blame it on management, of course. But now you can't go backwards. You have to move forward.
Agreed.
And this Vikings team, while good, they've shown vulnerability at times.
Yeah, they have.
Now, with the offense playing at a high level, it's scary, but no Thielen possibly this week. So right? He ain't playing. I'm not even gonna say possibly, but I don't think he's playing.
It's a short week coming to hamstring. Typically, right. That's too hard. That's too hard of a turnaround.
That is a big weapon that they're not gonna have.
Mm-hmm.
I wanna say the Vikings running game is amazing.
Like Dalvin Cook's a beast.
I mean, it's no other way to describe it. So you're gonna have to me stack the box, and you're gonna have to hope that you're defensive backs can cover again minus one weapon, and you got to put the game in Kirk Cousins' hand. That's what Zach Brown said.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying
you won't be successful.
You're not necessarily gonna be effective. It's not guaranteed. Yeah. But this is my strategy because if Dalvin Cook, hey, I'm an Atlanta fan. Dalvin Cook destroyed them.
He destroyed a lot of people, bro.
Vikings were up 28-0. I believe he had three of those touchdowns.
Yeah, look, Dalvin Cook destroys a lot of teams. Has destroyed a lot of teams. I have my fantasy football team.
So
a lot of
run, keep running the football, Callahan, because you want to keep that offense on the field.
Agreed. On Twitter, we talked about, is it the Skins Super Bowl? On Twitter, George tweeted, it would be if I thought the Skins had a snowball chance in hell of winning. They don't.
I feel like that as well.
On Facebook, Darian posted, this should be just a game that both teams need to win. The fans will blow this up. If Kirk underperform, Skins fans will say, I told you so. If Kurt lights it up, Skins fans will say, fire Bruce because we should have kept him. So,
The defense did get pressure on Garoppolo this weekend. Now, I know it was raining, but if you can get pressure on Cousins, we know Cousins at times can fling that ball.
They're at times in certain situations, like they didn't bring pressure when they needed to,
especially all season.
I know. In key situations. And my thing about Kurt, and I think we've seen it here, if you let him sit in the pocket and get comfortable,
of course,
he'll be fine.
Comfort is his need.
Yeah, that's his thing.
He needs to have it.
You're putting so much pressure on Kerrigan, Sweat and company to Allen and whatnot to consistently bring pressure with just four.
That's why Kirk has struggled in this division that he's currently in against the Bears.
Yeah. Because they come after. Yeah, exactly.
So agreed. If you're Minuski, can you finally just say, you know what? I'm probably not going to be here next season. Let me just make some moves.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Let me just all out blitzes, safety blitzes, corner blitzes.
What do you have to lose?
Mix up your 1-6.
Bro, you suck. Goal. What do you have to lose? That's what I'm saying. Like, what do you have to lose? You're going to keep a job. I don't even get why this is even an issue. All right, Case Keenan threw for Ray mentioned, Case Keenum coming back to Minnesota. He threw for 77 yards against the Niners in Sunday's loss. If he looks that bad early, do you think Dwayne Haskins comes in for him?
No.
All right.
I believe
he plays out the whole game.
I believe Callahan is sticking to his guns when it comes to Haskins. And Haskins, his confidence looks damaged a bit just based off his body language. And it's amazing because he set at Ohio State and then he came in when he was ready and was a beast. I'm hoping he'll have the same outcome here, but I'm thinking that right now this is not what he was expecting his first year. So really, don't bring him into this dysfunction at this point.
Oh, I think he's coming in. He's gonna play
this week.
No, are you talking about this season at some point? No, he's gonna play. It's either this game. The vibe I get.
Oh, right, okay, I got you.
He'll play this game. If they're getting beat, they're getting beat.
So you already know. You was asking me what I thought.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Like I think that no. This I don't. No. This is what I'm like.
I thought you knew just based on being in the building.
No. I'm gonna say this much. No, I think after this game, he's definitely starting one way or the other. Like I think Haskins is starting one way or the other. I think because they have a bye after Minnesota, so I think Haskins is gonna play after the bye. But I kind of think that if Case struggles in the Vikings game. And we're talking about looks like as bad as you look against the Bears or whatnot, that you'll get Dwayne in the game. I feel like Case is playing because it's Minnesota. That I do. That's how I personally feel.
I just felt like Callahan was saying, listen, I'm not going to throw this young man in to a tough situation.
No, but he does think that Dwayne's getting better. If you're going to hand the ball, my thing is you're going to hand the ball off to AP like 30 some odd times or whatever.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Daryl Moose Johnston who was the commentator for this past Sunday's game.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know you wouldn't know, but I mean, again, yeah. I was watching it on television. And he said, we watched Dwayne practice yesterday, and he clearly throws a better ball than Case Keenum.
Yeah, a lot of people say, yeah.
And if he is the coach, he's inserting him into the lineup to help him develop. Again, I personally disagree because of what the season has looked like thus far. However, under this current interim head coach who runs the football, maybe you have a chance.
Yeah.
You have play action opportunities.
That's what I'm saying.
You have better pass protection. You also put that man in a situation where he's not depending on his arm.
That's
so
what I'm asking. That's
I'm
what I'm
actually
saying.
Okay under Callahan. I will say that. I changed my stance only for that reason.
Yeah,
if Jay was still the coach, I wouldn't put him in.
No, look. I agree with you. Cool. That's what I'm saying. I agree with that. That's my whole thing. If you're going to run the football, you might as well play the kid. Is it time for Haskins? Former Skins linebacker Robert Henson will join us after the break. You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. For Aegis, you dig? Deuces. Listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Your hosts are Wole, and my boy Ray Jeezy. Will T is out. It's gonna be a great show. Right now, we have former Skins linebacker Robert Henson on the line. He was drafted by the Skins in the sixth round in the 2009 draft out of TCU. What's good, Robert?
Not much, man. How y'all doing?
We're good. We're good. So, Robert, right now, I've been following you on Twitter, and I love what you like to, you know, like what you say on Twitter and whatnot. It's like you want all the smoke, right? Like you want all the smoke. But I want to figure out. Like I want to understand this though. Like you haven't played for this organization in a while, but you're so loyal to this, like to the fan base. Like why? Because they like it's been a bad team for a while.
Man. To be honest, man, when I went through that whole situation on Twitter when I was a rookie, there was more positive than there was negative. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, I had my share of hecklers and people who were like, get this guy, get him out of here, all this other stuff. But you wouldn't believe how many fans and people, like just supporters, were just like, you know, everybody makes mistakes. He's a kid, you know, and just were forgiving and open about the whole situation and understood how contrite and how apologetic I was, how sorry I was for the situation. So, man, I just soaked all that love up, man, and tried to give it back. So while I was playing, I used to stay after practice and sign as many autographs as I could.
What's up, man?
And, you know, just give back in any kind of way. I remember a guy, I told him, I tweeted that I was flying back in the Dulles or something while I was playing during off season. And he was like, oh, man, I'm by the airport. Can you come sign an autograph? It was kind of creepy, but at the same time, yeah, word, word. It was kind of creepy, but at the same time, I was like, you know, that's what's up, man. I'm going to stop. And yeah, so me and him chopped it up. We had like a 30-minute conversation, man. It was just real down-to-earth talk, man. And, you know, so, you know, this as much heck as I get or I used to get, you know, it was even more love. So I just wanted to get that back in. And, just become a part of the fan base. And then when I was done playing, I still had friends and, you know, friendships that I had forged while I was playing, and those guys were still Redskins. So, you know, I made up my mind then, you know, I'm going to be here for the long haul. I'm going to ride it out.
That's what's up, man.
All right, hey, Rob, man, this is about to be a long-winded question. I'm glad you mentioned your rookie season. We kind of briefly referenced it when we opened the show. And I was saying, Rob mentioned, you know, the fans work at McDonald's or whatever, but we need the fans back now. How do you get the fans back, especially with the DMV sports franchises other than the Redskins? I mean, they're popping championships, Mystics, Nationals playing for a World Series. How do you get this fan base back, bro?
Well, I think the first thing you got to do is, you know, you're not winning. And you're looking at your bottom line and you're paying more attention to that than you are the caliber of coaches and players that you're bringing in. You got to reverse that. Mm-hmm. You got to say to hell with the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And not just in the sense of saying, I'm going to spend this much money on a player. You say, how can I give back to the fans? And the Redskins do a lot of charitable things. Mm-hmm. I'm not knocking them for that. But I think lowering the ticket prices, making home games more affordable, accessible to people, and not just, you know, all about what, you know, selling sweet tickets and all that stuff. You know what
true,
I mean?
True.
Make it about the people. Bring the people back in. And I think if Dan had an open forum where he just really listened, because at the heart of it, he really is a fan.
Mm, yeah.
Like he really loves it, and he loves the team. And I learned that about him spending a little bit of time with him, talking to him. And he really loved the team. So you got to maybe an open forum, or, you know what I'm saying, kind of like a town hall setting where he's just sitting there and listening, man, and take the bad and the good and just sit there. I think a lot of people will respect him for that and listening and trying to implement as much as he can. I mean, the casual fan thinks that they're a GM or a coach. In all reality, they don't know
the
half that go into it.
Agreed.
But they just want to be heard, man, at the end of the day. They want to vent their frustrations, not to their friends, but to somebody who can actually say, okay, you know what? All right, $50 or $100 off ticket prices, or, you know, this certain organization will always get free tickets and they can dole them out to the kids as they see fit, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You just in, you know, more things. It's always more you can do. So I think that would be a great thing that would get the fans on board. And as a fan, the one thing that would bring me back, because I ain't watched the game in the last 2 weeks.
You understand?
I barely even tweet about him anymore.
I know that's
because
right.
I'm like, I'm done until Bruce is gone. Because I've experienced Bruce personally, and I just don't like him as a person.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it ain't nothing personal. Like, I don't
tell him how you really feel,
bro. I don't wish nothing bad on him. Mm-hmm. I don't wish nothing bad on him. But at the same time, like, for one, he'll tell you something to your face and then cut you, or he'll. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that went on behind the scenes that people don't know about, man. Like having arbitration meetings and he come in lying, and sending people to say stuff and do stuff. It's a lot of stuff, man, that a lot of players don't like Bruce. A lot of players in that organization right now that I have relationships with all echo the same things. They don't like Bruce, and he always thinks that everyone likes him, and he's really not liked in that building. So. I think that would be another thing that would get fans back on board and say, okay, Dan is able to make emotional decisions. You know what I'm saying? The hard decisions, you know?
Well, you mentioned Bruce Allen. You obviously are part of the masses that feel that way about him currently. But a big reason why he was brought back was to kind of tap back into those glory days. However, this current fan base, especially the younger fans, they don't even know who –
exactly.
Played back in those days. So
exactly.
Bruce Allen's existence on this, and management is somewhat irrelevant now. So you mentioned Dan being a fan, and maybe even Dan needs to let go of the glory days. Do you let Bruce go after this season? I already kind of think I know what your answer is. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But does it have to happen in order to move forward as a franchise, especially if you're going to move back to the district?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has to happen, or he's going to risk losing. And like you brought up all the other franchises in this market that are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
That means that the person who is a Nats fan and a Redskins fan is going to spend their money on the World Series tickets as opposed to a Redskins game on Sunday.
So true.
So you're going to lose those people to those other sports, and it's going to affect his bottom line. And at some point, when it affects their bottom line, that's when they decide to listen. So it's going to happen. Dan, I know he's keeping Bruce around just for this whole stadium situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the stadium situation should be at the back of his mind right now.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I do make that decision at the end of the year. because Bruce's record here, his choice in players, with the exception of this past draft, has been questionable at best. The players that he let go who have gone on to other franchises and really had success, the players that he kept who really have always been often injured or don't contribute, you know, he's just those decisions. I think he wants a lot of the credit is what it looks like to me. He doesn't want to share the spotlight with anybody.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask you about a former player because, you know, he went to TCU just like yourself. Josh Dotson, like whatever happened with Josh Dotson, my man?
I would, honestly, I'll tell you what, Josh's passion to play football was really tested here.
Okay.
Because just from a standpoint of I know him. He loves to compete. This kid was a walk on.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. Yeah.
His mentality has always been go get it. Like, I'm a dog, I'm gonna eat. But the fluctuation at the quarterback position.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kirk being a stats and numbers guy and not trusting him, that was a big part of his frustration. Probably, if I had to put a percentage on it, it was probably 60% of his frustration.
Wow, okay.
Was Kirk just – and you have to know Josh's player type, too. I see a lot of fans get frustrated, and I used to say – and people thought I was just being a TCU guy by just defending him. But yeah. Josh is never going to create huge separation.
Yeah.
And Kirk's thing was, I need you to be completely open. And Josh is one of those guys, like, it's one-on-one, I'm going to go get it. I think majority of his catches were one-on-one, I'm going to go get it.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't the right matchup for him here. And the quarterback fluctuation, as well as the coaching staff, you know, saying and doing certain stuff to him, his receivers coach, he didn't really get along with. So there's a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't know behind the scenes that was just weighing on him heavily. I think he was able to breathe a sigh of relief when he did get released because those expectations and those, you know, the unwanted attention wasn't on him as much. And I put him on notice this past year because I thought he was going to make the team, but I was like, he does have to have a good year this year. But more importantly, I was looking at Paul Richardson because he's
bruh,
a big ticket.
Yeah.
He's a big ticket.
Yeah.
Like, he getting paid. And we ain't seen nothing.
Nothing.
But nobody talks about that.
I agree.
You know, everybody's like, oh, he's a first-round pick. Josh got to do something. No, bro, like, he's a rookie. You develop him. You bring him along. You keep him healthy as best you can. And you put him in the surrounding, the situation where he can be great and make plays. And Kirk didn't do that for him because we all know Kirk's hang up as a quarterback.
Yeah.
He wants the stats. He wants the wide open stats and the completion percentage so he can cash in. And then two, just the other, you know, the coaches and staff and the people around him didn't make Josh feel wanted. So I think that's that was Josh's really big hang up. I think he's finally completely healthy. I don't know what he's doing in Minnesota. I hadn't really kept up with him. I've been too worried about this franchise, but I'm still expecting big things from him.
See, that's funny because he's one of those underlying storylines along with Adrian Peterson and Case Keenum. Case Keenum making a return to Minnesota. But the talk is about Kirk, another former Redskins linebacker, as I talked about previously, Zach Brown. He poked the bear. I talked about this last week, and it seemed like he woke Kirk Cousins up, and now you got the burgundy and gold coming to town. I mean, is there any chance they can slow down the offense considering Thielen is probably going to be out this week?
I'm not worried about the defensive side of the ball. Only from the standpoint of, I think last week really helped us out just from a confidence standpoint on defense, but the conditions also played a factor in how well the defense played too. I'm not stupid. Like, I'm not one of those people who are just delusional and just think that, no. If Jimmy could have spun that ball more, they would have gave him the rain for. But, you know, so I do think last week, even though it was kind of a messed up situation, like weather-wise, I do think it's something that you can hang your hat on and say, hey, we did our job on defense. It's up to the offense to make things happen. I do think there's a chance they can win. I'm going to always give them a chance to win because it is any given Sunday. It's National Football League. So I'm going to always give them a chance to win. But they do have to play a near-perfect game offensively. With a high-powered offense like that, you've got to keep them on the sideline. So that means sustaining a running game, which I know Callahan probably go too much. But and that means taking care of the ball, no turnovers. So if they can do those two things and play solid defense, they got a good shot.
You listen to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Team right now. We have former Skins linebacker Robert Henson on the line. So do you feel that, cause this is what I feel. I feel like the running game helps the defense, you know, keeps them off the field and like limits the opportunity for the offense to see that defense, right? Do you feel like this is like Callahan's approach has improved this defense?
I think his approach has improved player morale and the defense. His approach has helped probably solidify Minuski as, you know, a coach that could finish the season. you know, otherwise it may have been a change on both sides.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely does. As a former defensive player, hell yeah, I like when we're not on the field as much. I'd rather play 40 plays of defense instead of 70. You know what I mean? So the only thing about the running game is I thought there would be a difference between Jay's running game and Callahan's running game, and there really is none. It's still predictable as hell, and it's still out of traditional sets and formations. So it makes me wonder and question how much influence Kevin O'Connell really has.
So are you big on Kevin O'Connell? A lot of people are. Are you really big on him?
I am, because I think you need a new young coach to freshen things up, man, the innovator. Like,
I've been saying that.
We've had three guys in that building who were innovators, but they all were stifled until they got out of there. And now you see them like running. I was watching the Niners game, not this past week, obviously, but the week before, and they were like, I forgot who they played. They beat them, though. And they were, no, seriously, Kevin Coleman was going crazy. Breida was going crazy. And it was out of untraditional sets. I mean, obviously, everybody's adopting the fly motions and the different formations. And it's just, you need those things because the NFL is a good old boys league. And I think a lot of the coaches who are great in their period start to become dinosaurs and hold back talent. Like, you see the evolution of the quarterbacks. You need a great offensive mind. Like, if we'd have had a better offensive mind when Rob was here, like Shanahan was, Kyle was, like, I mean, you saw the effects that it had on Rob's rookie year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, like, you see Russell Wilson now in Seattle. Like, those, you need those young coaches who can look at things differently and say, ah, that's old. Like, let's find a new way to run this.
I want to get your prediction on this game coming up. I don't know if you're going to watch. It's Thursday night. It's the only game on. Come on, bro. You got to support the squad this coming Thursday. Again, man, you got you got Kirk.
The definition of insanity.
But the reason why I asked, not just because I want to know who you think is going to win, but because everybody, and I mean everybody on Twitter, is saying there's no shot in hell that the Skins could come out of victory this Thursday with Dalvin Cook just playing so well, Kirk Cousins, you know, elevating his game the last couple of weeks, revive Stephon Diggs. What can the Skins do to even be close or make it competitive?
Well, one thing that the Redskins do have in their favor is that defensive line, which I feel like is the strength and lifeblood of the whole team, honestly.
Yeah.
Dalvin hadn't played against any defensive line like ours. So so far this year, he hadn't really played against a dominant defensive line. I mean, he had the Eagles, but they pretty banged up and they old. They don't have a linebacker. You know what I mean?
Maybe the Bears, though, right?
Definitely the Bears. Akeem Hicks and Mack are monsters. I honestly, with the exception of Mack, I would take our guys over the rest of the Bears, you guys. But I mean, I like it. I like the matchup. I think they'll see it as a challenge. I think a lot of people who don't know football and they watch the occasional, you know, misstep of like a guy like Cole Holcomb, I think he's really going to be good. He's just a rookie, and people really forget that, you know, what he's done. But he's a rookie. He can cover better than Sean Deion Hamilton.
You think so? I like Sean Deion Hamilton as a cover. You think
I like him, too. I like him, too, from a standpoint that he's a shirt. Trust me, I watch him, bro.
Yeah,
he wearing 51.
I believe you.
I watch his every move,
I believe you, bro. I believe you.
but, yeah, he's a sure tackler. I love his ability to make the sure play. And, like, you never have to worry about him, you know, not making the tackle. Mm-hmm. But Cole has the instincts and the speed that we're missing at that position.
Okay.
He's still raw. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a finished product at all. But again, that defensive line is probably, I'll take them over the Vikings offensive line any day. As far as Diggs go, and especially with Kirk, you know, with Kirk, if you bring any kind of pressure, you start to see stuff and he'll let it go. Kirk is going to give you one or two. Mm-hmm. We know that from him being here. And they just have to catch those. They got to come up with them. I'm a little worried about Monte Nicholson's situation. I don't know if his injury status. Yeah. I saw him go down last week.
Ain't no good.
After he came in, got the pick.
Yeah.
But I'm a little worried about that. But other than that, man, I think they got a shot. Again, it's the NFL. Everybody getting paid. So I think they got a shot. They run the ball and take care of the ball and play solid defense. The Vikings aren't unbeatable at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've taken some ugly losses. So.
They have. So, I mean, you obviously, like you said, we've seen Kirk play here, and we've seen what happens when he gets pressure. So is this the game that Minuski, he's seen Kirk before, he's seen what Kirk can do. Is this the game that he actually decides to bring more pressure rather than just going with the four and putting all the pressure on Allen, Payne, Ioannidis, Sweat, Kerrigan, consistently putting pressure on them just to get pressure with the front four rather than bringing an extra man, like this time actually bringing a couple of extra guys or some more stunts or whatnot?
No, definitely more stunts and rushing four should do it.
Okay.
As you look at the Vikings offensive line, there's nobody over there that really impresses me, honestly. I don't even know who those guys are half the time. We see their offensive weapons on the outside, the perimeter. But as you look at it, the offensive line isn't overly impressive. And I give the edge to our guys.
Okay.
And if I'm a Nesky, yeah, I rush four. I make Kirk make the play.
Okay.
You know, I'll drop the guys in coverage, and I want him to see the whole field is what I want. I want him to see the whole field, and you know, if guys are in places where they're supposed to be, and if Minuski's calling the right plays, then, you know, obviously they'll be successful. You know, you bring an occasional blitz every now and then, mm-hmm. or make it look like blitz or show blitz, whatever, just to confuse them, and you rush your four. I'll take Kerrigan. I'll take Sweat.
Mm.
You know, Payne, Ioannidis. You can't double those guys. That's what makes them so difficult. You can't double Payne. You can't, and then you got a guy who comes in rotationally, Tim Settle.
Oh, I love Tim
Settle. Who's really stepping into his own.
Sure like is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's playing his tail off this year, man. And I really wasn't expecting him to, you know, to jump out like that. Yeah. But he's been doing it well.
His progression has been amazing. I agree. His progression has been amazing. I have to talk about him. Dwayne Haskins. He's the rookie quarterback, the future. The future. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to throw out a scenario out there. Say Case struggles in Minnesota like the first half. Do you see this? Do you see Callahan pulling the trigger and playing Haskins in the game in Minnesota, or will he just wait it out? Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen. There is nothing. There's nothing right now for Haskins that can help him succeed right now. Like, when you think about it, our best left tackle, one of my good friends, is not here. Donald Payne is good, but if I'm betting, I'm taking Everson Griffin and Daniil Hunter off the edge over Morgan Moses and Donald Penn.
Mm.
You know what I mean? At least one side you used to have shirt up, you didn't have to worry about.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that can be gained besides experience and getting him hit a lot.
Mm.
Like, there's nothing to be gained. I'm a big proponent of sitting a guy.
Yeah.
Name one quarterback that sat that wasn't successful.
No, I'm with you. I'm all about old school in terms of normally old school. I mean, this situation, because I think this team sucks, they could play him. But my normal process, and even when Dwayne come into the season, I was like, I wanted Dwayne to sit out the whole year. I'm always for a rookie quarterback sitting out the whole year. I think you can learn more. You've seen, you know, Pat Mahomes. And even
yeah,
you see younger,
it from a different angle.
Yeah. And also, even if, you know, if you look at it from years in the past, like, quarterbacks weren't playing off the break. You know what I mean? Like Dan Marino and folks like that. That's like, they weren't playing off the break. They sat for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Steve Young sat behind Joe Montana for how long?
Aaron Rodgers behind Favre.
So, you know, historically speaking, like, the normal trend was always to sit a quarterback for the first full season. It got real sexy mm-hmm. when Andrew – it really got real sexy when Andrew Luck and RG3 came to play. Like, it got real sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when everybody started doing it. But yeah, I'm with you. Historically speaking, I'm always for the first quarter. I mean, your rookie quarterback to sit. But this situation, I'm like, they suck so much that why is it hurt? Especially if you're going to hand the ball off.
Yeah, well, at the same time, though, you got to think, have you learned your lesson? Rob's situation should have taught us patience.
Yeah, true.
And to make the best move for the player. And what's best for Dwayne right now is sitting. I know he has the athletic ability.
Yeah.
I know he has the mental fortitude, awareness. I don't question his mental game. People outside and in the media, that don't even make no sense.
It don't.
I was talking to Dan Orlovsky about it on Twitter a while back, and he even said it. Like, he even did a segment with Dwayne Haskins and he posted it. Why are people questioning this dude's, like, acumen for football? Like, it makes no sense. So, I would sit in, man. If history taught us one thing, is that you don't want to ruin your future as well as that player's career.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. By being impatient.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Hey, man, I appreciate you for being on, man. Is anything you want to plug, your social media, whatever, plug anything. You got the phone.
Man, I mean, follow me on Twitter, at Mr_Henson51. Everybody who follow me know I talk Redskins football.
Yeah.
I try to break down as many plays as I can and just help the casual fan understand, because watching the game with me is completely different than, listening to the broadcaster or anything like that. So I just try to, educate people as much as I can about the game. And I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been fun, man.
Hey, appreciate you too, man. Real quick before I let you go, college football, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Who are you picking this week, man?
Ohio State or who?
Wisconsin.
Ooh.
It'll be a tough one.
You know what, though? I'm going to go with Wisconsin. They run the ball, play good defense.
That's who I pick.
And they can keep Ohio State high-powered offense off the field. So they're getting a better quarterback play this year.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
They ball.
They used to just hand it off 40 times, but I think Wisconsin probably going to pull it. I got them slightly edging them, 3.
That's cool.
Something like that. It ain't going to be no route. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's
Jonathan
cool.
Taylor is a beast, though.
He an animal. That kid's an animal, man. That kid
yeah,
an
but the problem with Wisconsin running backs is they wear them down in college.
They do. I know, I agree.
And they're not really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Melvin Gordon is the exception.
The exception. I still thought he'd be better than what he – I mean, he's been really, really good. I still thought he would be better, though. I thought he would be better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's still good, though, but I thought he would be better. But, man,
I agree.
Man, I appreciate you, my man. Really do, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Y'all take care.
All right, take care, man.
Bye.
Bye. All right, man, that is Robert Henson, former Washington Redskins inside linebacker. Played for this team. I was drafted by this team in 2009.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun, man. Get some insight, man. He agreed with you, too. FYI.
He did agree with me, of course. I wasn't going to put it out there. But interesting comments about Bruce Allen.
It was.
I'm wondering if Bruce is aware of how players feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that fans obviously are frustrated with the franchise as a whole, and unfortunately he's going to take a fall regardless, but he deserves some of the blame, of course, with some of the moves he's made, decision making, and we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, it was like, shocked that he agreed with you about, Haskins, so
I don't see a reason, but according to your sources, Haskins will
get my some, sources get some I don't have any sources.
I'm joking, bro. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he played. Why not? Either again, it's a season where you're not winning games.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what can?
But I do get his point.
What can hurt Dwayne by getting some experience this season in a year where you're not going to make the playoffs? The games don't necessarily matter a whole lot.
Yeah, okay. I get both of you guys. I get both of your points, because it is, you made this point too. So I would like to give credit where credit is due.
Thank you, sir.
He's right. Like, and you're right too. A quarterback who sat a whole year behind somebody typically, they're not deemed like a horrible bust.
Exactly.
So, yeah. See, I can change. I can agree.
You got to blame my guy, man. Matt Ryan. Matty Ice is one of the guys, too.
Yeah.
He's one of the reasons why quarterbacks started playing early on.
Too.
Mark Sanchez. Early success.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben.
Big Ben didn't start the season.
He didn't.
Yeah, Maddox started. Injuries.
Oh, Tommy Maddox didn't start. You're correct.
Mm-hmm.
He just had such an amazing run.
Yeah, and then he got hurt. Then Big Ben just took over and just didn't lose.
You know
what I mean? But again, Pittsburgh was a good situation because they ran the ball.
Exceptions. It's always exactly. I agree with that.
All right, man. Subscribe. Hey, folks, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Just search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. You've been listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Hopewell, Virginia. For ages, you dig deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.
Swag.